down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
And welcome to Racing Across America live from Saratoga. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday morning. Big program ahead. Rodolphe Brissett will join us towards the end of the program. Fairly new to the training game. Always like to use the opportunity up here at Saratoga to introduce folks to names you might see in the program, but you might not be as familiar with the actual person. We'll talk to him a little bit later. And I had a nice winner yesterday in an off-the-turf event. Mike Welch will be middle of the program or so. We'll drop in Mike and Dave Grenig on Thursdays regularly, as we have done for the past couple of years. Mike, of course, part of the great workout report that the Daily Racing Forum does up here that adds some nice information to your handicapping toolbox. We'll talk with Mike in just a few. The top of the program, our friend Richard Migliori, a man wearing many hats. We were talking, what should we put on your chyron? But I said jockey's agent, because that's mainly what we'll talk about today. But Rich, it's good to see you up at Saratoga. As I say, you're very busy this season.
I am. I didn't think I'd be this busy at all heading into the meet. But then Chris Landeros and I started talking, and he said, you know, let's give this a try. And I'm very happy with the reception we've gotten. I'm very comfortable and confident in Chris as a rider. Glad we got a win already, thanks to his father-in-law, Ian Wilkes. And we got a full dance card on Saturday. We ride eight.
And you have one in the feature as well. We'll talk about that in a few. Before we do, let's just do a little setup. Also, doing some commentary. Joined the team for the Fox Sports show, the MSG show, and I've been saying for years now, since it's been on, it's great, not just for New York racing, horse racing in general, that it kind of spreads the word, and you're a great addition back on the team, what, past couple of months or so?
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, Naira gave me shows for Belmont, but it didn't look like I was going to have any for Saratoga. And then about 4 days before the meet, they said, would I do shows in Saratoga? It's about 15 shows. And you don't want to say no, because you get your foot back in the door, and I had left to work at XBTV. So I'm just glad that they welcomed me back, and I enjoy doing television. I like, and I'm sure you feel the same way, when you give a perspective or an insight that maybe people never got before, and it opens their mind to something a little different.
And what I say all the time when we do the handicapper support up here at Saratoga, you can also give a little bit of the, I don't know, the 101 version of things, because I think there's a lot of new people, and it's worth kind of stepping back a little bit, and some of the things that normally during the year we might take for granted, now you can kind of step back and say, hey, for you folks who are new to the game, keep this in mind. One of the things I always say, one of the examples I'll give, is speed going longer distances. It's counterintuitive. People tend to think, oh, a mile and a half, that's where the closer will go. Not always, because they lope wrong on the front end. And so for folks new to the game, as I say, it's counterintuitive.
Yeah, well, you always try to throw in a little bit of an explanation for something. Like I used the terminology the other day, a horse was warming up. He 2 minute licked over to the gate. Now, somebody that doesn't know racing, we take it for granted. That means he went about 15 seconds to each eighth, because if you added up 15 seconds to an eighth, eight furlongs would be exactly 2 minutes, a 2 minute lick. And I explained that. And so you just hope that you're not using language you're so used to that it's, you know, people would be over people's heads.
Yeah, and as they say up here at Saratoga, I think that's important, because this place brings so many new fans in year after year. And so, and again, I think that Fox show is great for exposing it to a wider audience of general sports fans, and you guys do a great job. And as I say, you've been a nice addition there. You and I, the Tuesday before the meet, we were down in Albany, the Times Union seminar. I was impressed. I mean, Saratoga fans, they're down in Albany. It's the Tuesday before the meet. They had a full house.
You know what? And I'm always impressed with the fans here in Saratoga. We have the best racing fans up here. They really appreciate the horses, the jockeys, the trainers. You know, you think about the horses that have been revered up here over the years. You know, Four Star Dave is buried in Clare Court right behind us. And I can come here in February and people leave stuff at his gravesite. So they just have such a great appreciation of the sport.
Yeah, it's I say it all the time. It's not just the racetrack. It's beyond the fence around the racetrack. It's, you go downtown, people are talking about the Daily Double that day or the hit they had in the triple or whatnot. Everybody's plugged into it. The local media is plugged into it. Makes it a lot of fun. And it's been fun for you for years now, because one of the stories you told down at the TU, as a kid, you hopped on a horse van to come up and spend a couple of days watching the races.
Yeah, I was galloping horses at Belmont. I get left behind with the second string. And I had the day after the Travers off. So when I got done galloping horses on Travers morning at Belmont, I caught a horse van that was shuttling horses north. Got up here about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Stayed at a friend of mine's room on the back stretch, who was a groom for Mike Hernandez at the time. Watched the Travers from the 3/8 pole. Right where basically Aladar got shut off and he had to come up out of the spot. And I say it, and it's very hard to see, but I actually am on the outside fence with an ice cream cone in my hand. Before I was riding, I could eat ice cream. So,
and as I say, as a kid, got up here and caught a couple of days at the racetrack. So you've been coming here for many years. It's a special location for all of us, certainly. But this year, a little bit different. Spent many years riding here, and as we alluded to at the top, now the agent for Chris Landeros. You talked a little bit about the win. Let's go back. And it's nice to get a win within the first, 3 days of the meet, going back to July 13th. We'll watch the number one originator for West Point Thoroughbreds and Chris's father-in-law, Ian Wilkes. I'm guessing it probably doesn't stack up to big wins as a jockey, but it certainly, as the agent, to get the first one at Saratoga had to feel pretty good.
Well, it felt really good. And I was actually on set doing the Fox show when we were covering this race, and he came out a little bit right here. He reacted quickly and straightened her up, but she did take a step out. So when I'm watching it live, I went, uh-oh, I hope we're okay here. And he did a really good job of correcting her very quickly. And I think that's what saved us from a potential, you know, problem. But I love the way he rides the turf. I love how patient he is. He's got great hands. He'll sit inside, save that ground. And then he's got a really strong finish. So I think they really complement each other. So, you know, it was great to get that out of the way. And then covering it, you're trying to give an honest assessment of what happened. And at the same time, a little of anxiety. Yeah. You know, you want things to go well. But I actually got to ride with Chris towards the end of my career out in California when he was just starting. And I was aware of him then. And even though he wasn't winning a lot of races at that point, jockeys know the guys who can ride. We're so result-oriented that if someone's not winning, people don't recognize that. But when you ride in a race with a guy, you know the guys who can ride. And I said, this kid's really okay. And then I've watched his development over the last 10 or 12 years. He's gotten so strong. He had a great golf stream. So when I talked to him about potentially doing this, it was because I know he belongs at the upper level.
And, you know, you mentioned it, probably analogous to other sports, when you look at a kid who's just coming up, baseball mechanics or the golf swing, you know there's something there.
Absolutely. And he comes from a horse racing family. His dad trained horses. He knows how to conduct himself. He handles himself the right way. I think he's made a real nice impression with people. We've been working. When I say we, I'm using the agent vernacular. We've been working a lot of horses. He's been working a lot of horses. I've been sitting in the golf cart watching him work those horses. But I think things are going to pay off. And we got off to a little bit of a late start. I wasn't even in the first condition book, but getting a lot of positive response.
And certainly a big shot on Saturday. You talked about a number of mounts, but probably the highlight of the day, the Coaching Club American Oaks Grade 1 event on Saturday, and he will be on Champagne Anyone. I pulled up the Gulfstream Park Oaks. Two starts back for Champagne Anyone, subsequently. Okay, fourth in the Kentucky Oaks, but we're going to look at the win, two back, number five, Champagne Anyone, wins by a chart margin, a half a length down at Gulfstream in March. Chris has been on board for all eight of the starts so far for Champagne Anyone. You guys have to be looking forward to a shot in a Grade One.
We're really looking forward to it. And, you know, the mile and an eighth is certainly, I think, plays to her strength. And you know, Ian, his father-in-law, looks had put blinkers on her here, and it kind of got her in the race a bit more, and it seems like the blinkers have definitely moved forward. But, you know, listen, Chad Brown's filly, Garana, is going to be tough, but this filly certainly belongs, and I think the mile and eighth, again, plays to her strength. And this is what I tell you, like, he really is a very strong finisher. He switches sticks very adeptly. He's beating a nice Chad Brown filly here, as a matter of fact, but definitely excited about it.
Yeah, running second there was Dunbar Road.
Yes.
So that was a nice performance. Certainly Champagne, anyone in the five-horse field coming up on Saturday in the Coaching Club American Oaks with a real shot for Ian and Chris Landeros and Richard Migliore. Take us through the day in the life of a jockey agent. What do you have to do to go out and get your guy mounts?
Well, you know, I get up early every day no matter what. Even if I'm home on the farm, I'm up at 5. But I'm out here usually by 5:30, get my golf cart. I kind of have a game plan when I start the day, who I want to see and the order I want to see them. Kind of have scoped out if I know some of the guys that are a little more established on the circuit are going to run into a problem. You know, you try to anticipate, well, he rode this horse last time and this horse last time, and they're going to wind up in the same spot and they're both live. Let me see if I can position myself to back up in either spot. Obviously, see the guys that he rides for, check in with his father-in-law, check in with Rusty Arnold, who's been very helpful, very supportive, Mark Hennig, Gary Contessa, guys that have stepped up immediately, and then just make yourself available. Put yourself in a position to get something good, succeed, if you will. It's been a little bit of a balancing act because I'll be here from 5:30 till 10, and then I've got to be in a production meeting at 10, the days I'm doing television, sure. And I'm not doing every day. Then I've got to run back to the house, shower, and put a suit on and come back for the show. And then my brother has to handle me at the draw. And my brother works for Dylan Davis, my brother Michael. So I'll give him my calls and say, you know, this is what I have, but if something else comes open worthwhile, you know. So he's been very helpful in helping me with the draws when I'm on television.
And how much... just are you putting in your brain how much paperwork, computer, what? Because as you say, you're doing this before the draw. You're trying to figure out who's going to go where and where my spot might be. So you have to keep in your mind all the horses on the grounds and who's eligible for this condition. How do you do that?
Well, there's a great program called Thorough Manager.
Okay.
And I can look up, you know, different trainers and where their horses have been and what they're doing. And you try to be out in front of it. So
you have to be.
Yeah, well, right, because I don't want to go to the draw and know this guy's going to be in a problem. I want to have that a few days out, say, hey, if something happens and you need a rider in this spot, you know, would love an opportunity. Not that you're going to need a rider, but potentially, because I've seen the problem out in front, and then hopefully that, you know, they remember that I was the guy kind of in their ear about that. And then, obviously, the horse I have calls with the morning of entries, I go check, hey, we're good, the horse is doing well. Because, you know, horses can go bad overnight.
Yeah.
You know, what did Charlie Whittingham say? They're like strawberries. They can go bad overnight. So, you know, you just go, hey, we're good, we're going to enter here and, you know, confirm your calls. So, again, it's, you know, I have a lot of energy. Who knew that if you got to eat food, you would have energy? It's a new concept for me. You know, I like it. It's a challenge. And the thing that I like about it is I enjoy going around with Chris in the morning. I enjoy his company. I enjoy talking to him. And as a former rider, when you're talking to your rider, hopefully I can impart some wisdom, not about his riding, because I really like his riding. He's very well-rounded. I don't see a hole in his game. But just how approaching things. You know, again, building equity with trainers by working horses and things that, you know, maybe at times I would get frustrated with when I rode that I can see clearer now. So if you can help a guy avoid some of the little pitfalls that you've had during your career, you become a little bit of a coach as well.
Yeah, and that's a great point. That was my next question. Let's right into it. You've kind of answered it. How much of being a jockey has led into some insights being a jockey's agent?
Well, it is. You know, like, you know, things that irritated you as a rider that your agent would do and put you on horses that maybe you go, well, why am I on this horse? There is a reason for every horse I ride with him. Now, that horse may not look great, let's say, on paper, but I'm building equity because there's a horse down a week from now that I really want to get on, and I can't get that horse if I don't ride this horse. But at least I'm helping our chances. So everything I'm doing is thought out. It's not just, well, yeah, name us on, you give us a shot. It's, I have a plan, and I'm trying to execute it because I didn't like when I had agents, and I had some very good agents that really knew their stuff and were on top of it, and I learned stuff from them. But I did have agents at times that would, like, just throw me on anything. I can go back through some programs, and I was a guy who pulled a lot of weight. They never really managed me. They just threw me on horses, and I might be on three or four horses with a chance. Then I'm on some 30-to-1 shot for a guy I never heard of, shipping from out of town. Why? Why? I don't want him just out there.
Yeah.
I want to be out there with purpose. I have a vision of where I want to go with it.
And that leads into the jockey-trainer relationship and how much of that. I always say at the training side of the game, we bring trainers in here during the meet and talk a little bit about it. You think of a guy, hey, you go out in the morning and train the horses. Training, I don't think people realize how much of a small business that is, with a payroll and just all kinds of things that go into it beyond bringing the horse out in the morning and training. Well, jockey and jockey's agent, there are things that I don't think people realize. And as I say, you've kind of alluded to it. Public relations is a big part of it.
Well, it's a big part of it. And I think also when to speak to certain trainers, especially. You know, you think about guys like Chad Brown, like Todd Pletcher. They're running a company, and they're training horses. You don't want to hit them up while they're watching horses. They've got a lot on their mind. You don't want to get them when they're on the phone talking with their owners and their other assistants. And so, like the other day on Tuesday, I was here till noon because I wanted to wait until they're done with, you know, talking with their assistants, talking with their owners, talking with, you know, veterinarians and all the things they're having to manage, and not be intrusive on that. So I waited until that's all done, it's quiet. Hey, have a few moments and talk. And again, I have so much confidence in Chris. I'm not hard pressuring anybody. I have relationships that I'm not going to step on those relationships. I have a guy I know can get it done. I know you have your riders. I know it's tough up here. But if we can get an opportunity, I would appreciate it. And I think you'll be happy with the result. And I think knowing how hard their jobs are, and again, trying to work around their schedules, is a strength too, because I've been in the game for my whole life.
And you mentioned the draw earlier for folks, for fans out there who aren't familiar with how that works. What happens at the draw? How does the card get pulled and you actually, you know, get named on a horse, the draw procedure?
So I have my book, which, Tool of the Trade, right?
Condition book.
I've got my calls, like here was Saturday's lineup. They tell you what races are going to go. You circle them. I know which ones I have calls. So, of course, I'm listening for my rider to come named on the horse that I had for the race. Now, the race may overfill. My horse might get excluded. So now I've got to be able to play, you know, off of this and say, well, okay, my horse got excluded. If something else comes open, I've got to be ready to make phone calls. I got everybody on speed dial. And yesterday, you know, we were on a horse or two that got excluded, but I was able to pick up another mount in the race. Now, again, yesterday, draw for Saturday's card was interesting because there were a lot of riders out of town, guys with a lot of business. You know, Luis Saez is out of town, Joel Rosario is out of town. So I kind of cherry picked. I tried to get on horses that I knew they've been riding, but now they're going to be absent. If the race goes, I get them out. If it doesn't, of course, they're going to get them back because they're going to bring the race back. And I was very lucky. I was very fortunate. Jeremiah Englehart called and gave us a good mount in the Caress, a really good mount. The mare finished second to Uni last time, because I believe Luis Saez rode it last time. So now we get the call. John Kimmel has a nice maiden that I really liked, was third at Belmont. Joel Rosario had to be at Del Mar. I asked John, you know, a week before, I think Joel's going to be out. Can I do this? We got them out. So it's about, again, being ahead of the game, being prepared. And then they start pulling the numbers, and you hope that your horses get in. A few of the races we had actually didn't go, but they brought them back for Sunday, which is okay. I'm on eight Saturday. At least now I got play on Sunday. So it's a balancing act, and I'm still learning. You know, the draw is a little bit overwhelming to me, but, you know, I'm falling in line. I'm getting the hang of it.
Yeah, well, certainly we're rooting for you and your guy, Chris Leanderos, as I say. Nice win the other day on Originator. Looking forward to seeing him on Champagne. Anyone, before we let you go, just and you guys were telling a great story. I said I was not batting cleanup at the seminar the other night. I was batting ninth. I was the last person to speak, but it was not. It was not cleanup. You guys were great telling stories, you and Dale and Eric Yeo and Larry Colmus. But just give us one of your favorite Saratoga memories.
You know, there's so many.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And you know, the people up here, like I said, the fans kind of make Saratoga, you know, what it is. And it's a special place to come to. But if I had to just pinpoint one, when I broke Steve Cawthon's money record here as an apprentice, because a year earlier, I ran into Lenny Goodman in the corridor at Belmont. And I was, you know, probably being a little too cocky, and I walked up to him and I said, "Mr. Goodman, my name's Richard Migliori. I'm going to be just as good as Steve Cawthon, and I want you to be my agent." And he had some friends of his with him, and he held my hand, and he said, "Kid, as big as your hands are, I'll get you a job on the construction site. I got a friend who owns construction company." And they laughed, and I was embarrassed, right? So a year later, I break Steve Cawthon's money record, and I did in 8 months what it took him 12 months to do. And to do it here in Saratoga and have the fans. And they went to Lenny Goodman. Now, Joe Shea was my agent, who had been Ron Turcotte's agent. And they went to Lenny Goodman, "Hey, how about this kid? You know, Migliori, he's good." And he said, "Oh, I always knew he was going to be a good one." I said, "No, he didn't. He said I was going to be a bricklayer." that was a really wonderful summer, magical summer. I won my first $100,000 stake and broke Cawthon's money record.
Yeah, nice. Rich, appreciate the visit. And again, wish you and Chris a lot of luck. Looking forward to seeing you on the Fox show throughout the meet, and appreciate the visit.
Well, thank you for having me.
Richard Migliori. All right, we'll take a break. See him outside in the green room. Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum, he's up next. Stay tuned.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money. Welcome back. As promised before the break, joined now by Mike Welch. We'll have Mike and Dave Grenig alternating on Thursdays, as we have in previous years. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy to have you guys jump in. And before we get into some specifics, again, tout us on the workout report. Because as I said at the top of the show, you guys at the Daily Racing Forum do a great job. And up here at Saratoga, not just the races every day, but certainly the two-year-old races, the workout report, I think, provides a tool in the handicapping toolbox for people that gives folks maybe a little something that most people don't have. And certainly during the meet, there will be some opportunities for some value.
Yeah, we've already had a few winners that had good works. And it's a little slow so far. The main track up here, a lot of guys were reluctant to work on it right away. But you're starting to see a lot more action. Last weekend, actually, between Oklahoma and Saratoga, main track on Saturday and Sunday, 700 horses worked. And the turf course, all three. And I'm expecting the same this weekend, starting tomorrow. It was a little slow yesterday and today because of the rain, but it looks like we'll be dry through the weekend. So as more and more horses start to get their get fitter, we'll start seeing hopefully bigger fields and a lot more of the two-year-old races. And we've got team. I got myself, Dave Grenning, Donald Harris. We had Mike Vesci pitching in a little bit back at Belmont before that meet ended. We've got Toby Terrell for the California horses that are coming over, so we've got everything pretty well covered.
Very good. And just give us kind of the word. Does the number of horses change based on the day of the week? Certainly it has to change based on the weather.
Yeah, the weather does have a big effect, but Saturday and Sundays are pretty much work days for a majority of the trainers. I don't know why that is, but that seems to be the case. And if you don't get the rain, that messes up the track those days, and that's what you're going to see. If you get a rain on a Friday night, a big rain, and Saturday guys can't work, then Sunday, Monday becomes the big days. And we have turf now. The schedule switched this year. Instead of Friday, Monday, it's Friday, Sunday. So we'll see how what kind of effect that has. But the turf's been busy right along. Yeah, ever since I've gotten up here, the turf has had a lot of action and will get even busier as we progress through the summer.
Turf works are all across the street, right? They don't work over
all
here.
At Oklahoma. Yeah, completely at Oklahoma. And I find the turf works here are very revealing. We've had a lot of good winners come out of turf works, several already, but last summer quite a few. And you can get a pretty good feel for a lot of these horses, especially the babies, when you watch them. Most of them get paired up in teams, and so that's a big help too. You know who they're working against, what kind of record they have. You get a baby working against an older horse and holds their own or beats them. Pretty good sign.
And again, you find all that out in the workout report. Bick and I were in here two Sundays ago, whatever. We were talking workouts and mentioned when the jock is up on a horse, and we started talking, the jock is compared to an exercise rider, because some of these exercise riders might be 120 pounds or something. That makes a difference. And now, you know, people can find that kind of stuff out in the workout.
Yeah, I usually note if it's we try to put down when the riders are aboard, and it's significant too. You see a rider work a horse and then come back and ride him in the race. I think that's worth information worth having. But if we have an exercise rider that's a little on the had too many hamburgers the last week or so, I'll make note of that. If I will say it's a heavier exercise rider, it is significant.
I mean,
one horse, if they work in teams and one horse is carrying 110 pounds, the other 130, it makes a difference going 5/8 of a mile.
And again, the workout report available via Daily Racing Form, DRF.com. You can get a daily package, a season-long package. As I said, a lot of tool to the toolbox.
Still not too late to get it, take advantage of the season-long package. It's still will save you money if you're going to be playing the whole meet. If you jump in now, I know you've missed first 5 days, but even at the 35 days left, at the rate that it's up there, I think it's still a bargain.
So check that out. All right, let's go back to yesterday. Just get some thoughts on the Rick Violette, which was run virtually in a monsoon, which, boy, as that race was run, it was kind of, well, the race the rest of the card, and then an hour later, it was okay.
Yeah, I think we came pretty close to losing the card there yesterday. It started raining so hard, the track got so wet. I know the riders were talking about it, but thankfully, the rain kind of abated after that, and everything went
We're watching Sky of Cook here win for Rudy Rodriguez. He'll get up to win by a chart margin of a nose over Listen to Your Heart in here. What were your thoughts?
Now, the one thing I noticed as the day progressed, and you really didn't know it at this point, but it looked like horses racing off from the rail, close up but slightly outside, had the advantage. We saw most of the winners do what the Sky of Cook did, and even though this horse is lugging in here, he was able to still run down the leader, who got down closer to the rail. Looked to me that the further out you were from the rail yesterday over this wet track, the better off you were, except for that brilliant-looking maiden winner of Rudolph Brousset, who got pinned on the rail the whole way off the record. And we did have pretty good work on that horse. You had the clocker report, you probably cashed on that horse. And he got pinned down on the rail the whole way. Looked like he was through on the turn when he got shuffled back, and he was able to slip through and beat Chad. So that was a huge effort. I don't know what kind of number he's going to get, but if you're assessing the race, I would add a few more points to it or subtract if you got the rags in or brown sheets because of the trip he had on the what I thought was a deeper part of the racetrack.
Yeah, I got Rudolph coming up a little bit later on, and that was a nice win yesterday for the first-time starter. Yesterday's feature, that was the Rick Violette that we saw Sky of Hook winning yesterday on the show. I replayed from last year the interview Steve Bick and I did the day after the Whitney when Diversify won, and it was fun to hear from Rick Violette again. And certainly a lot of folks on the track turned out down in the winner's circle and in memory of Rick, despite
a tough day
the weather.
In some respects, to honor Rick like that and just to not have him here, it's just a really hard thing. And interesting enough, though, that Luis Saez, who rode the winner of the Rick Violet Stakes, rode Rick's last winner as well of his career. So a little irony there, too. And the wet weather kind of mirroring the conditions when Diversify won the Whitney or the race and the racetrack the way it was that day.
But Rick, we mentioned it yesterday, not just a great trainer with horses like Diversify, but a guy who was concerned about the aftercare of the horses, concerned about the folks on the backstretch, trainers issues and whatnot, and very knowledgeable, will be missed.
Yeah, I went back with Rick to Boston days together 35 years ago, so a long-time friend as well as a great horseman.
Yeah, somebody, Mike McAdam, was saying that he was talking to his mother down in the winner's circle with the thick Boston accent.
Yes.
coming from it. And speaking of which, before we go on, I talked to you Belmont Stakes weekend. We were talking, and I asked if you were going to be able to make it up to Suffolk for one of the last weekends. I, unfortunately, had a trip to Maine one Sunday, thought I was going to get there for four or five races the second to last weekend. And I got stuck in mass turnpike traffic, and then I was like, oh, I might make it for the last, maybe not. And at that point, I just, I was disappointed. And then the last weekend, we were up doing the Queen's Plate at Woodbine. But did you get a chance?
No, I had plans to try to drive up the morning after the Belmont. That's for that Sunday program. And by the time we got done with our work for the Belmont and finished dinner, yeah, I got home about midnight. So the thought of getting up at 6 o'clock and driving 250 miles, a 500 round trip, was just a little more than I wanted to do at that point. So now, sadly, I did not get there before it ended, and it's sad to see it go. Yeah. I mean, I spent, that's where I started. I was there for a long time, and that's where I learned, I first began with the racing form, learned to call charts from the great Eli Chiat, and then went on from there. So great memories for me. That's for
I made it up there for one of these boutique weekends two summers ago, first time up there. You know, to be honest, I was expecting kind of a broken down kind of a place, but boy, it's nice. You know, it's a shame. I mean, the facility's nice. And now, granted, it was one of those boutique weekends, but nice crowd, young, old, and it was kind of fun. And it's, yeah, you kind of look and shake
your head. Sad to think there's no racing in New England anymore. I mean, Rockingham Park, before it closed, was as good a meet as just about anywhere. It was the cleanest, nicest.
Yeah.
They used to call it the Saratoga of New England, and it was mirrored the meet. Pretty much up there, the quality was terrific, and that's where I also, you know, cut my teeth there too. The Labor Day doublehead is 14 races, five in the morning, nine in the afternoon. You couldn't beat it.
And they talk about the potential of Great Barrington. Did you ever go there?
Yeah, no, I worked several meets there, several summers there. I did the whole fair circuit for several years, worked Green Mountain Park, and then, you know, went over to the fairs when they ran. So be interesting to see if they open up again. I always hope they open up Green Mountain. That was my favorite place.
And Green Mountain was known for, before they had Sunday racing here, they had Sunday over there. I don't know whether I was as into the game then. I was a fan since I was a kid, but I don't know if I was into the game enough to venture. I never did venture over there, but Sundays were big because people would be up here for the week and say, hey, there's no racing here. Let's go over to Green Mountain.
The whole weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, you couldn't get a room for 25 miles from the place. And that's what killed Green Mountain, was when they went Sunday racing here. As soon as they went Sunday racing here, they were done.
Yeah. All right, let's talk some of the racing coming up. We've done the rear view mirror, but now let's take a look at the racing today. Let's take a look first at the Stillwater, and then we'll take a look at the Lake George tomorrow, maybe a couple others on the weekend, get some quick thoughts. But the Stillwater today, these are two-year-old New York bred fillies going a quick six furlongs. I pulled up the maiden special victory June 22nd, Fierce Lady, she's the number one. I say it a lot of times when I'm in doing the handicapping show, buyer figures for me are a tool in the toolbox. Sometimes, though, a horse just jumps off the page with the buyer. That's Fierce Lady, 1-2 on the morning line. The thing is, these are two-year-olds. They can always improve, but, boy,
or
Fierce Lady off of that.
Or they can go the other way, too.
You
know, that's a huge number for a two-year-old, and it's interesting to note that he has no published work since that race in 4 weeks. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's by design because he ran so fast they're just kind of backing off him and just letting him gallop into the race and take it easy, or if he missed the work for some reason.
Yeah, this is not the correct race.
But no, it's not. Unless we left the turf symbol off his race here in the racing form, and we don't make those kind of mistakes. Obviously, if he runs his race, he's going to win. There's some other speed in here. His speed looks like it might be better than their speed. But if he gets into a duel and he regresses a little bit, who knows? You know, we have some okay works in Jewel of Arabia. First-time starter. You know, in these kind of races, it's not out of the realm for a first-time starter to win a stakes race like this. So it's going to be an interesting race. I mean, I wouldn't bet on or I wouldn't bet against Fierce Lady with any confidence one way or the other. I certainly wouldn't want to take 2-5 or whatever she's going to be, and if she wins, so be it. And, you know, if she runs back to that race, she'll win.
Yeah, certainly it was a big effort there. I will toss in also my Italian rabbi, Jeremiah and Gold Square. They had Marianne or Ginger down at Belmont Stakes weekend as a two-year-old. Jeremiah, to me, is a guy that I think is going to be worth watching up here with two-year-olds.
Yeah, no, Jeremiah has a lot of horses, and he's had a lot that have caught the eye already. So, and he's already done well leading up into this meet. So, yeah, Jeremiah's one to keep an eye on all summer long.
All right, that replay we just saw, that will apply to this race, the Lake George. That's tomorrow's feature. Grade 3 event. These are three-year-old fillies on the grass going a mile. I'm going to pull up that race that you just saw. We can get that again. The Wild Applause from June 22nd down at Belmont. Blowout is going to be the winner, the number 6 horse. One of a number of Chad runners in here that I think have a very good opportunity. The Macam Bullet for Wesley Ward also intrigues me. What are your thoughts on the Lake George?
Well, you know, it looks like Wesley against the one Wesley against the three Chads. I mean, you know, it's tough when you're outnumbered like that, especially with three good fillies like this. They're all coming off wins for Chad. He's told me it's hard for him to separate the three. They all have a little bit different running styles, so they should complement each other well. Blowout will probably be closest to the lead, if not on the lead. Wind of Sunset will show speed, so I'm going to guess Blowout will probably stalk her. The other two will lay off. Stillwater Cove is going to scratch. She's running in the San Clemente on Saturday at Del Mar, according to Wesley. But he's really high on the Macam Bullet. He really likes this filly. The original intention when he got her after the Breeders' Cup last year from the owners was to get her ready and send her to Ascot. She had two races on the Poly, then she won a turf race, the Appalachian. And he just said they wanted to run her in the Group 1 Coronation, not the Coronation Cup. It's anyway, for three-year-old fillies over there.
But it was a Group 1. Maybe. Coronation.
Yeah, well, it's a Group 1 race. And Wesley said, I just didn't think at this point she was ready to win that kind of race. So they decided to back off her, not take her to Ascot. This was the next logical spot. He said she's doing terrific ever since he put a new exercise boy on her. She's a little tough to handle. This rider, he said, just handles her beautifully. And since he got her on the turf full time, he just loves the way she's going. So it wouldn't shock me at all if she would upset the three Chads. Good race to watch, not a great race to bet. You're not getting much value on any of them, and it's really a toss-up, I think. Four very evenly matched horses, and you know, saying that, watch Winter Sunset go out and wire the field and beat them all.
Well, that's a great note on the Macam Bullet, though. I mean, if they were aiming for the race over, for folks who don't follow foreign racing, that's one of the best, you know, that's one of the Group 1s at Ascot. So this is certainly some class relief off of that one. So we'll see what happens there. All right, let's get just a couple of thoughts maybe on the Coaching Club American Oaks, and quick thought maybe on the Haskell also on Saturday. Coaching Club American Oaks, Guarana is going to get a chance to validate what we've seen from her. Short field of 5 in here. In a division that I think is crying out for a leader in Guarana, maybe the horse that moves to the top of the class with a win in here. Serengeti Empress, I saw you did an article. They're going to aim that one a little shorter, go for the test with that one.
Absolutely.
The Kentucky Oaks winner. So, as I say, this class is looking for a leader, but what are your thoughts on the coaching?
Well, I mean, if Guarana wins this one too, she is going to be the leader. And look, her two races have been spectacular. Granted, she had the perfect pace setup in the Acorn. Serengeti Empress just got run into the ground by Cookie Dough and just ran a humongous race to finish second. It just set things up perfectly for Guarana, who benefited from a beautiful ride by Jose Ortiz, who just put her in absolutely perfect position to benefit from that speed duel. That being said, I think she's a special filly. I think if Jose wants to from the rail, I think he can just go right to the lead here in this race and dominate. I mean, look, he was only 3 lengths off and 2 lengths off that blistering early pace. So she's got the speed to go to the lead. I mean, I don't know what the strategy Chad and Jose are going to employ. I just still think, even though she's coming off the picture-perfect trip and picks up 6 pounds, she's definitely the one to beat. Champagne Anyone, I had her down in Florida this winter. She certainly progressed as she went along. Ran well in the Kentucky Oaks off. She just got in trouble early, felt too far back. I thought she trained well going into that race. I actually liked her, and she was eliminated early on. She hasn't run since. She looked good. I've only seen one work from her. She looked good here. I give her a big shot. Point of Honor, this is a tougher bunch than she. I think she beat in the Black Eyed Susan. She's been pointing specifically for this race. She won't wow you in the morning. She's a filly that's just getting better and better. But to me, Gore Honor is still the horse to beat at. Again, not a great betting race, a very short price from Wallfield. But Gorana, to me, could be a super special filler.
Yeah, and as I say, with only two starts and a couple of wins, gets a chance to move to the head of the class. And finally, just some thoughts on the Haskell Maximum Security back after the second place finish in the Pegasus. Behind King for a Day, I'm really intrigued to see if King for a Day can validate what we saw last time in the Pegasus. I think people under the wire thought, oh, an upset of Maximum Security. Then when the numbers came out, I think people thought, well, maybe King for a Day is kind of legitimate in here. Fun field because of those two. You also have Dale with Everfest in here, Mucho Gusto from Bob Baffert.
Well, doesn't Bob Baffert win this race every single year? I mean, I would have to take a pretty good look at Mucho Gusto in here. I think this horse may be the one to be. I know Maximum Security was the first across the line in the Derby, and he had an excuse last time. In the Pegasus, got knocked around in the gate. I think if I remember Jason telling me, he jostled around in the gate first and banged himself a little bit and then stumbled a little bit coming out of the gate, and that took him out a little bit out of his comfort zone right away. And he had to be used a little harder early than Jason or Louis would have liked. He could get some pace pressure in here too. I mean, you're looking at short prices are the logical ones, Maximum Security, Mucho Gusto, King for a Day. See how the trip plays out. I'm more worried about the weather down there and here on Saturday, too, with the heat that they're predicting. It's going to be borderline. I know Delaware's already canceled for Saturday. Hopefully we'll get these cards in and the hot weather will have no effect. But, again, if I had a gun to my head, if I had to bet the race and I don't, I would take a shot with Mucho Gusto.
Very good. And you mentioned Jason Service. Again, looking through some of your articles in the racing forum. World of Trouble. Grade 1 winner going for the Grade 3 Troy in the next start on the grass. But it tied into the situation on Santa Anita is going to play to his strength. They're going to cut from 6.5 to 5 for the Breeders' Cup turf. So it looks like that'll be his game plan.
Yeah, I think that decision led to this decision. I think, look, World of Trouble's great on dirt and turf. And you're tempted to go for the grade one races on the dirt. But, Jason said he just believes this is a little bit better horse on the turf. I mean, the options are still open to go somewhere on the dirt down the road. But I think their main goal right now, the way it sounds from Jason, is the Breeders' Cup turf sprint at the 5 furlongs now instead of the 6.5 down the hill. If it was 6.5 down the hill, might be a whole different set of options. We probably wouldn't see him in Detroit. We'd probably see him on more of a dirt path as we will go down the road, but we'll see.
Yeah, fun to see him though show
nice
up
horse, nice problem to have.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to know which Breeders' Cup race to point to with a horse that might be favored in both of them.
Mike, appreciate the visit as always. As I say, we'll have you and or Dave Grenigan on Thursdays. Again, we'll tout the DRF workout report. Plenty of time to pull up that season-long package still and take advantage of that. You can buy it on a daily basis. Lots of great information available that will help your handicapping up here at the meet. Mike, appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. Rudolph Brissett will join us. Had a nice winner on the card yesterday that we alluded to already. We'll talk about that and much more. Stay tuned.
Fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouth-watering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Thursday morning, live from the Saratoga Backstretch, Seth Merrow in, and joined now, as promised, Rodolphe Brissett, trainer, fairly new trainer, a couple of years in the game, but as I said at the top of the show, like to take the opportunity when we're up here at Saratoga to bring people here to the set and maybe introduce them and give you an up-close and personal look at some of the trainers whose names you see in the program day after day. Rodolphe, good morning.
Good morning.
And I told you yesterday, I have heard your name French, and I've heard it pronounced like five different ways. So you pronounce it, so we'll all know.
Well, Rodolphe Brissett. It's a very French way to say it, but, you know, everybody call me Rudy.
Rudy.
It's fine, you know.
I'll go with Rudy. That's
there
easy.
There we go. It's easy for everybody.
And again, you're French, and just looking up some of your background, your game plan early on, you wanted to be a jockey?
Well, actually, I was a jockey.
Okay.
So got, you know, lucky enough to rode races for 4 or 5 years, rode for the Aga Kent in France. And you know, being around good horses, being around a good jockey, good trainer. I worked for Son Altesse, you know, Aga Kent for a couple of years. So, and then I got too heavy. So, you know, I need to find something else. So, got a year as an agent, and then didn't really, not something what I was really fan of. And then, you know, find a job here, and here we come.
You also spent time at the Racing Academy in France. What was that like? What was the education there?
Well, we, you know, quit, you know, you start the jockey school around 14. So, you know, I mean, I start galloping thoroughbred when I was 12 years old, I think. So it's been, you know, all my life. But the school was, you know, I guess it was just a transition to get the license, get the graduate, took 2 years. And then from there, you get on your own pretty young in France, you know, 16 years old.
Sure.
You got to find your first apartment, first car, and then go for it. So it's you get in a proper life pretty quick.
How did you get into the game? Was your family in the game?
No, nobody in there. No, just ride normal horses. Like, I was 5 years old the first time I ride, and I guess just, I don't know, I got born with it. You know, it's riding. It's really, you know, I'm sitting here because my way or my skill as a rider, I guess.
And you glossed over pretty quickly, but you spent time as a jockey agent for Christophe Soumillon. So if folks aren't familiar with international racing, probably one of the top riders in the world. What was that experience like?
Well, I know Christophe from, we went to school. We are at the jockey school together, actually. So, you know, he's a good friend of mine, and obviously one of the best. And, you know, on the dirt, on the grass, long, short, doesn't matter. We're in the world too. So it's a great experience. He's a great rider, and I was able to work with him too. You know, I was able to get some of the good horses ready for him when he was busy with other stable. And so it was a fun year, just something I didn't see myself end up doing all my life.
Get him over here for a ride, that'd be fun.
Well, he's coming, you know, he's going to ride the Whitney, so, you know, he's got Thunder Snow should be here for the Whitney, so you should have him around at least for one race on Saturday in 2 weeks from now, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, yeah, very good. As they say, for folks who aren't familiar, one of the top riders in the world. Let's talk a little bit about your background after you were an agent for Soumillon. As you say, you wanted to change, and you spent some time as an assistant for Bill Mott. Talk a little bit about that experience.
More than some time. It was almost 12 years, so 11 years. Changed my life. You know, that's upside down, changed my life. You know, just the whole Mott crew and Mr. Mott himself, you know, Tina, his wife, and, you know, they were like a family to me. So, you know, they really, really changed everything for me. So, you know, I wouldn't be here without them. So the whole Mott crew and of course Mr. Mott himself.
Were you coming up here with his horses? Have you been coming to Saratoga for a while?
I was lucky enough to ride Royal Delta for many years. So we usually, when she was coming here, I was coming with her here, so to help everybody. And then, you know, I was between Belmont and here. So it's kind of fun. I always say my assistant trainer job was the really fun one. You know, I was able to go on all the big meets and, you know, following with the good horses and you know, be with all the other assistant trainers. So I really enjoy, and I think, you know, they all became pretty good friends, you know, we're pretty close.
You mentioned riding Royal Delta. You were an exercise rider as well for Belmont, and in the morning now as a trainer, you still get on your horses, correct?
Yeah, I just come off the mass 10 minutes ago. So yeah, no, I ride, like I said earlier when we start the show, riding is my, it's really where take me, riding is where took me here. And I don't know, I don't think until I'm, you know, well enough to do it, I will, it's where I'm in peace on the horse. I feel more comfortable on the horse than on my own shoes.
You know. When you go out in the morning, talk a little bit about the experience when you're training a horse and you have maybe a race in mind. Are you getting signals for the horse? Oh, we're coming into this in good fashion. I mean, are you now in tune enough that the horse is giving you messages on those workouts?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, it's maybe not the same message you get when you are standing on the rail or with your binocular and looking at it. But at the end, I guess, you know, they have maybe a different way to say it, the horses, because, you know, they don't talk.
Sure.
But the way they show it as a rider, you may have not a different feeling than the people standing on the other side of the rail. But at the end of the day, it's the same, pretty much the same thing. You know, you see signs where us are feeling good going toward the race, for sure.
And talk a little bit about Saratoga and how that fits. I pulled up Equibase, some of your entries and some of the recent results, and you've had horses this weekend, Belterra, as well as Saratoga, Ellis, you've had it, Indiana, so you have horses at the various venues, but talk a little bit about how Saratoga fits in and what it means to race and win up here.
Well, for us, first of all, I gotta give a big shout out to Mike Ryan.
Sure.
Because you know, Mike's been a big supporter of us, and he told me, you know, he said as a young trainer, you have to go to Saratoga. It's tough, you know. I mean,
yeah.
You know, financially, and you know, it's the best racing for the summer. So we did it last year. You know, it was an average group, but end up having, you know, a positive spirit came out of that group, which is, you know, great to win her. We got a filly named Widow we really like. She ran twice second. She was second here first time out. So we end up with a small group of horses, but last year, but the socializing, the fact we were able to prove to people we were coming here, and we were not just saying we were going to do it, we did it. We are really a very good feedback, and I mean, I guess we can see the difference this year. You know, we have 16 here, and it's a good group of horses, a couple of stakes horses in there, I think, and we enjoy to be here.
And just talk a little bit about it. It has to be fun. I ask trainers this all the time because it's different than other venues. Just that, on a regular basis, there's 20,000 people there, so it's got to be fun to win in front of the big crowd.
Well, so our home base is Kinland. So we have horses in Kinland, we have horses in Churchill, and then Saratoga right now. So we have three divisions, which is not easy to deal with, but you know, I got the right people with me, so we try to make it work. But the good thing about, you know, I mean, Kinland,
you
usually have 15,000 people, or 20,000 people,
yeah,
every day there too. So we used to the crowd, but Saratoga in the summer, it's where you want to be, you know.
And you had a win yesterday. Let's take a look at it. You must have been doing a rain dance. You were main track only, and that's the way it turned out after the big monsoon in the second race. Off the record, first time starter for Windstar. Nice breeding on the horse. Comes out. We're going to watch the stretch run here around the turn. Number three off the record with Jose Ortiz. Cuts the corner according to the chart and edges off. Nice win early in the meet, and a nice situation again with an off-the-turfer who wins by a chart margin of two. And Mike Welch said it to you as he walked off, and he mentioned as we were in here doing the show, he thought this was a sharp-looking performance from a first-time starter.
Well, like I said, it's been a pretty fun horse to be around. He obviously got some talent in the morning. Everybody kind of know about it, watching at his workout. And then, you know, but now we are a 4% first-timer, so we expecting to see something now, you know. When they won like this, usually it's overclassed than anything else, because, you know, we just like to develop a horse. If you win by 12 or you win by a nose, I rather win by a nose first time out, and I know I have some margin to get him better than winning by 12 and then go down the hill from there. So, and I think it's the goal for every trainer anyway. So, but that horse was working pretty good in the morning, and we liked him going into the race, and of course we got lucky with the rain. But I think his race is actually, you know, pretty impressive. Just the fact he got pinned down on the inside and show some art to be able to squeeze in there between Chad horse and the rail, and then go on. You know, 7 furlong first time out is not easy either. So and the slope. So yeah. I think he handled a lot of things. So we see. Looks like the horse came out very good. He looks good this morning. So we got to make plan now.
Looking in the condition book to see if you got another one the rest of the meet.
Well, the condition book come too slow, so we gotta have to wait maybe the third book before we make plan, I guess.
We'll look for him off the record. Really nice debut win yesterday. Wanted to talk a little bit about a couple other horses that I've seen have been working out up here. I'm wondering if we'll see them. We were up at Woodbine Queens Plate weekend, 2-3 weeks ago, in the Charlie Barley early in the card. We'll look at the stretch run here. It'll be number 3, the Black Album, getting up. Gutsy performance. Gets up by a head. Nice run from the Black Album. Started the career over in Europe earlier, but certainly looked good up at Woodbine a couple weeks ago. And as I say, saw he's working up here at Saratoga. Might we see the Black Album up here?
Yeah, well, the goal is I think he's got a spot in Kentucky Downs. He's got a nice spot there. So you know, we kind of want to work a plan backward from that
sure.
race. The race is on September 12th. So I think we may have a spot here at the beginning of August. Try to sharp him up a little bit. We find out the ad of the blinkers really helped, but I think he just doesn't want to go too far. He's by Warren Bassett, who was a very nice sprinter in France. So I think we will see him shorter distance and going one turn now.
As we saw there, a very ding-dong battle.
Yeah.
Were you up for that?
No, I wasn't. I was at home and with my wife and my kid, and my wife was like, "Oh, we got it," and I look at her and I say, "How did you see that?" Because I wasn't sure we got it. So I think the mile was just, it's really mile one turn, it's really really the further he wants to go, and he showed us that.
Yeah, I can tell you, we were up in the press box and we were all in the same, like, "Ooh, that was right. Ooh, that was," but he winds up getting, the chart margin is a head too, it's not a nose, it's a head. And I remember when they showed the photo, it was like, "Oh, how did that happen?" He winds up with a nice little margin there in a ding dong battle. So the Black Album, and I wanted to touch on one other horse. You have a really nice one with Quip. Going to go back and look a couple of starts back for Quip. This is the Oaklawn Handicap back in April. Quip's the number 7 horse. Another ding dong battle. Wins by a neck over Lone Sailor. Subsequently, Quip 2nd in the Stephen Foster down at Churchill. But I see Quip is working up here. What's the game plan coming up for Quip?
Well, it's I guess we go to play by ear. It's a 50-50 between the Whitney and the Pacific Classic. He's nominated for the Whitney. He's going to be nominated for the Pacific Classic. He's got a spot in the plane already to go there if we decide to do that. With that horse, it's been a group decision. You know, the ownership, the whole ownership, have a big part of the decision we're making together. As now, I would say it's a 50-50 between the Whitney and the Pacific Classic. I guess, you know, we got to try to go where we feel it's the easiest spot. But
sure.
You have no easy spot when you try to win a grade one and win a new in for the Classic, you know. So we see, he's a horse, he travel okay. He will travel with me. I usually travel with him. He can be a little bit handful, but he's training well here. If we have to run him here off of his stall, we will. If we have to cross the country, we have no problem doing that.
Certainly very talented, as we saw there in the Oaklawn in the second place finish in the Foster, a nice talented runner. Also, your winner yesterday, Windstar, that one for Windstar China Horse Club. So certainly some prominent owners tied in as well. Off to a nice little start at Saratoga with the win yesterday. And as they say, I just wanted to take an opportunity to introduce you to the folks who maybe see your name in the program all the time, but aren't familiar with the face or the personality. We appreciate your stopping in today. Wish you a lot of luck the remainder of the meet.
Well, thank you for having me, and we need luck, so thank you. I appreciate it.
Rudolph Brissette, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show on this Thursday morning. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued the 97-year tradition of delighting their local following and faithful summer crowd with the finest authentic Italian recipes. Classic Italian dishes made with the freshest ingredients and served in a home-like setting where everyone is welcome. Some things have changed in the last 97 years, but Pennell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine remains the same. Pennell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
A day at the track isn't complete without a night at the Horseshoe. Great food, hot music, and cold drinks. So why go downtown when all the action's just across from the track? The Horseshoe Inn at the corner of Nelson and Gridley.
Come on!
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops, my bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit rtn.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of branch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
Welcome back. We'll wrap things up on this Thursday edition of Racing Across America, live from Saratoga. Looks like a nice day of racing in store. A little bit overcast. But comfortable. I expect it looks like there may be some heat over the next few days, but I think the weather's going to be fine. Certainly some good racing over the next few days, including that Coaching Club American Oaks we talked about earlier in the program. Want to thank my guests today. Rudolph Brissette, he was fun, and he has some nice horses in the barn. Fairly new, couple of years out on his own. But he's one of those guys who the name's in the program, has been for a couple of years, and people talk about him. If I'm down at the race book or something, he will have some horses in. We may be pointing, hey, look at the Brissette horse. It's always like to have the opportunity to bring trainers in that people may not be familiar with and introduce them to you. So it was fun to do that with Rudy. A little bit earlier, Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum, and we kicked things off with a very familiar face, Richard Migliori. Now, handling the book as a jockey's agent of Chris Landero. So again, thanks to the guests this morning. Do want to hit on some of the promos. Before I hit on the promo, I want to remind you of an event tonight to keep in mind. Andy Serley, his radio show comes back at the races, the radio show coming back down at the Parting Glass this Thursday night and every Thursday throughout the meet. Go down to the Parting Glass about 8 o'clock. Things will kick off, but you can go a little early and grab some dinner. You'll see me down there. I stop down, get the hot turkey sandwich, enjoy really mingling in a room full of like-minded people. There's usually a standing room only crowd, and they're all racing fans, obviously. Andy has great guests week after week. So again, mark that on your calendar on Thursday nights throughout the meet. Andy Serling with the radio show down at the Parting Glass. That's tonight, the kickoff edition. OTB events and promos to keep in mind. You heard Mike Callahan, if you tuned in yesterday, talking a little bit about the Alive for Five, a brand new promotion that is going to be a lot of fun. There's a $10 entry fee, and you have essentially a modified pick five kind of a situation where the first race you have five horses, the next leg you have four, then three, then two, then one, and the folks who last the longest get to that last leg, or if nobody gets to that last leg, get to the second last leg. Everybody who does, or the one person, split up the prize pool. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Live for Five, you can learn more about it. It's an online contest. Learn more about it at the website, capitalotb.com. This week, today, is the first edition of Alive for Five. Fan Appreciation Day tomorrow at the Cleats Branch. That's out in the Whitesboro area. Love to see you out there, noon to 5. Tomorrow, the Cleats Branch. Tomorrow, also, Bounty Bet. We'll be holding it throughout the Saratoga meet. Well over $2,000 up for grabs tomorrow in the Bounty. All you have to do to get a shot at that money is play the late pick five here at Saratoga with your Capital OTB bet account. The Bounty Bet, well over $2,000 tomorrow, Friday's late pick five at Saratoga. Tomorrow there will also be a pick five bankroll, $150. Mike Callahan will have that. Check out the website for more information on how to participate. Saturday, an OTB Live $1,000 bankroll. Brian Edo will be in with the bankroll. He will be playing for a team that will be selected later today, tonight, actually. So you have until tonight to go to the website, put your name in for a chance to be on the team. Make sure you do that. Sign-ups will be available until Thursday night for the Saturday bankroll with Brian Edo. Saturday, $100 win-a-bet contest at the Clubhouse Racebook. Sunday, a double Sunday promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook. That all is happening at 711 Central Avenue in Albany. The win a bet on Saturday and the double promotion on Sunday. You can always check out the website for more info on the promos and events here at Capital OTB. All right, I'm just looking. I think I've covered all my notes. We hit on a little Haskell info and some of the other races. Finger Lakes. If you're a Finger Lakes player, the New York Derby is Saturday, as well as the Oaks. A couple of nice stakes races up at Finger Lakes this weekend. Keep that in mind as well. As in the middle of summer, pretty much every weekend, nice stakes action across the country, with Del Mar having opened up yesterday as well. So looking forward to certainly playing up here at Saratoga throughout the weekend. But there's some interesting things at some of the other venues as well. If you visit some of the branches, you may want to look over it occasionally at some of the other TVs also. But if you don't have any other plans, come on up here to the track, because as I say, I think it's going to be a nice weekend, maybe a little bit warm, but some great racing available up here. All right, going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, tomorrow morning we'll kick things off at 9 a.m. with the Handicapper Support. See you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit LeahCars.com. Leah Cars for life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.